Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show. So I want to start, as always, with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, in this show, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher and a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based here in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week we're looking at Element 4.1.1, Organisation of Educators. It's part of Quality Area 4, Staffing Arrangement, and it's the first element of Standard 4.1, Staffing Arrangements. So we're beginning with Quality Area 4. The description for this element is the organisation of educators across the service supports children's learning and development. All right, so what's this one all about? So it's great to be starting a whole another quality area. Looking sort of ahead to the elements of this quality area, these ones are quite specific and quite straightforward. So these episodes, we probably won't try and waffle on too much. I know that's a hard view. If you've been listening for this for quite a while, I do love to waffle on about early education. But these ones are quite straightforward. And probably this element, 4.1.1, organisation of educators, is probably the most straightforward. So really what we're talking about here is that organize the educators. So that includes staffing in terms of qualifications, in terms of ratios, in terms of where they're based. We want to make sure that that's doing the best they can for the group of children that we're with. One way that we know this is both straightforward but very specific to implement, if you look at the Guide to the National Quality Framework, which is what I use as the starting point for every one of these episodes, I really want to use the key documents of the sector. The guide on this one is about four solid pages of laws and regulations. There is quite a lot to be knowing here, and I can't go into the specifics of those ones here today. So this will just be really about what that element, I guess, is asking us to do from a quality perspective. All right, so let's spend a bit of time talking about this element in practice. The first really obvious and straightforward one is about meeting ratio requirements. So obviously, since the introduction of the National Quality Framework in 2012, there are now relatively consistent ratio requirements across every state and territory. Some people are transitioning into the new ones, but the majority of services who will be listening to this, no matter which state and territory you're in, will have largely transitioned to the new ratio requirements. So do make sure you're checking your individual state and territory requirements. But this one's pretty straightforward. And you know, one of the things that I think even educators who are relatively new to the sector pick up the ratios quite quickly, because it is something that as leaders, team leaders, centre directors, those kind of roles, that we are really drilling into people all the time. So that's great. The first thing to think about is obviously just in terms of how your centre is structured and staffed, how many children are in each classroom. You want to think, are you hitting those ratio numbers? So, you know, are there 4 or 8 or 12 or 16 in the nursery, or is there a different number? And you need to think about making sure you're meeting the minimum quality requirement. But, you know, what I'd spend most of my time talking about in this one, because it's relatively straightforward, is this making sure we're thinking about the additional times beyond the direct teaching. So, you know, what we call non-contact times, when that additional support is required. So, you know, that we might think about things like programming time, time off for meetings where the team leaders and educators can come together, professional development opportunities, those kind of things. And the key thing to think about here is consistency. So obviously we still need to meet the ratio requirements, they don't change, but how are we meeting them? Do we have consistent educators coming in and out? So we need to remember that the ratios aren't there is a thing we have to meet because that's in the regulations. The reason the ratios are there is about research that lower numbers of children to each educator produce better outcomes for children. And so we need to make sure that a big part of that is then consistency, that the familiar educators are engaged in that. The children can't, you know, just learn from any old person who's wandering in to meet those ratios. Not just about humans to children, it is about qualified educators that but the children know and can form relationships with. So consistency is a really big part of meeting those ratio requirements for me. And another thing to think about in practice is sort of how are we directly connecting it with children's learning. So as I sort of said before, it's not just about numbers of adults to children. It's really about should be directly connected to children's learning. So an example I'd use here would be thinking really clearly about arrival and departure times. Centres, every centre is really different, but we're seeing big variations in sizes of centres now. So, the first centre I ever directed was only 50 place, but I did also briefly direct a centre that was 143 place. And that's becoming more common, I think, that we're seeing these really large centres. So the staffing around as children are arriving and departing is so important because they're crucial, what we'd call critical ritual times for children. They're times where that we'd really need to invest the time and energy in getting those right. So we want to make sure that depending on the specifics of our centre, is it a centre where a lot of families arrive early and leave late, or is it that we have sort of this slow, steady build up until 9 o'clock, and then it starts to tail off around 4:30. However your centre is operating, you need to make sure that you're planning for the specifics of that centre and not just implementing the staffing model that happens down the road or at another centre in your sort of suite of centres. You really want to think about what's right for the children and families who are here, because those arrival and departure times really set children up for the day. There are also opportunities to engage with families and build those relationships and those partnerships. So how we implement that in terms of children's learning, we could also think about meal times and those kind of things. So again, there's no right answer to this, but it's something you need to think about as you're sitting down and planning staffing. Then the other thing I'd be thinking about is then obviously also carefully planning for children's safety and well-being. So as well as the learning outcomes we want to see from how we're structuring and setting up the staffing across the centre, the safety and well-being is important. We'd most clearly see this in things like supervision. So obviously are there, if we're potentially engaging in indoor-outdoor times, how are those times making sure that we have the right educators in the right spots to be covering those spaces. And indoor-outdoors, is a really important practice for children. We want children to feel like they can engage in all the parts of the service, and that there will be times where we know that children approach learning individually. So some children will be learning better outside on particular days and vice versa. But we really want to think about, how does our organisation of educators, as the element calls it, support that? I'd also be thinking about things. This connects a bit with those arrival and departure times as well. So if you do things like family grouping, I'm a big proponent of this, in services, because it's a great time for different children, different classrooms and different educators to come together and work together. But in terms of thinking about how educators are organised, do we make sure there's an educator who knows the children from a particular room, talking with the families as they come at the end of the day? How we structure arrival and departure of educators is also a really important part of this. So the best thing we would see of this in practice is that there's thought behind what's happening. It's not just, this is the staffing roster I used at my old centre, or this is the staffing roster that I was given when I started here. It's really thinking about, what's best for the current community of children, families and educators we have here at the moment. All right, let's think of some suggestions for nominated supervisors. This is really about meeting the law and the regulations. So this is, one of those ones where it's kind of check the regulations carefully. There's also some specific regulations about under the roof ratios, which are quite often contentious in parts of the sector, but reading them carefully is a really important part of your role. Not too much time to go into them today, and it is a complicated concept to get over in an audio medium, but making sure you understand what they are, and that just because there's a capacity to do under the roof ratio doesn't mean that's necessarily on particular times and particular days the best thing to be doing. But we also want to think about making sure there's someone around with first aid and anaphylaxis training. That's a regulatory requirement. And then in a broader sense, there's someone at the centre at all times with the skills to manage a serious incident. We talk about this a lot in the services I work in, is that we probably refer to that when the certified supervisor requirements used to be a lot more strict prior to the changes we saw a couple of years ago. But whether the title isn't that important, it's more about there is someone there. The centre director can't be there at all times, all days, although it may sometimes feel like it for the centre directors who are listening. There are times you're not there. Is there someone there who you just know will manage a serious incident quite well? And that's really what it comes down to. That they don't need to know the law and the regulations, back to front. No one can do that. They're really complicated, but there is someone who knows what to do when something happens. The other bit of advice I would give nominated supervisors, and I've sort of hinted at this throughout the rest of how I've discussed this episode, is really don't just do things because that's the way it's always been done. The overall advice here would be start from scratch. So if you're a new centre director, or even if you're just you've had team changes, your room configurations may have changed. So you know, for these 6 months, you know, you've dropped occupancy with toddlers, but you have more infants. You know, whatever it is, if you're having a change in how your centre is structured, even if it's relatively minor, is really start from scratch. Don't just continue with what you've been given or what you've been doing for the last 5 years. Really think about, you know, what are the needs? What are the classroom structures? And are there particular children who need particular support at particular time? And this is also, you know, an employment industrial question as well. You know, what contracts do people have? Are they contracted to work? And shifts between, you know, opening and close 5 days a week, then you have a lot of flexibility to be moving people around. This is, you know, a particular leadership approach, which I just call, you know, is taking charge. I talk with centre directors about this a lot, is that they feel they can't, you know, tell people where to go and you can't work in this room, and people get a bit cranky if they're, you know, if they're not given enough consultation or whatever about where they're going. You need to remember that you're in charge. The centre director is running the show, and there has to be someone who can make those decisions, particularly if you know they're in the best interests of children and they're in the best interests of the service. So, you know, really don't start from scratch. Take charge. Implement the roster that you think is the best outcome for children first, as well as families and educators. And then thinking about the quality improvement plan, again, this one is pretty straightforward, but I would just be saying staff rosters are reviewed every 3 months to ensure they are meeting the needs of children and the service. So I don't think that's too burdensome. I think doing any more than that will kind of drown you in paperwork and reviews and audits. But if you can think every 3 months, the service has probably changed a bit in that space. The children may be a little different. You may have had some come and go. The needs of children may be more evident to you than they were 3 months ago. So every 3 months, you want to think, you know what, is the staffing roster we currently have, is our organisation of educators across the service still working for what we want to do? I think that's a great goal to put in your quality improvement plan. All right, thank you for joining me for another episode of Exploring the NQS. We're now into Quality Area 4. Quality Area 4 doesn't have too many elements, so we'll be done with this one pretty quickly. But I want to thank everyone who's continuing to enjoy the show. Share it with someone if you haven't already. If there's someone who you think would benefit from this approach to engaging with the National Quality Standard, we'd really love to have more listeners, obviously, and more supporters. And obviously direct them to the main show as well, earlyeducationshow.com. But until you hear from me next week, it's goodbye from me.